The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. There's a movie that I like a lot called Babe. It's from about 20 years ago, and it's about a pig who wants to be a sheepdog. You may have seen it. It was filmed in Australia, and the farm, the home of Farmer Hoggett and his wife, has this wonderful storybook charm. It's lovely and old-fashioned and cozy. And if you've seen the movie, you might remember that there's a scene where they're celebrating Christmas with their daughter and her husband and their truly awful children. And when Mrs. Hoggett opens the gift her daughter has brought for her, it's a fax machine. And she clearly has no idea what it is. And she says, it's lovely, darling, but what is it for? It was a well-intentioned gift, but poor Farmer Hoggett and his wife can't see that it has anything at all to offer them. It has nothing to do with life as they know it. And today, we're celebrating the receiving of a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, poured out on all the disciples of Jesus Christ that were gathered together in Jerusalem. It was a spectacular moment. There was a sound like a rushing wind, and everybody gathered there saw over the heads of the men and women that surrounded them what looked like little flames, tongues of fire. And then suddenly they all began to speak at once, but not babbling in their usual dialects of Greek or Aramaic or maybe a little Hebrew, as they might have expected. There was somebody speaking in Parthian and another in Median and Akkadian, and somebody was speaking in Arabic and somebody else was speaking Latin. And I think it must have sounded like the busiest shopping mall in the most cosmopolitan city on Black Friday. Just an absolute babble of voices. Only instead of people being confused by it, like at the Tower of Babel, everybody heard the message of the gospel as if it were being spoken to them personally in their own native tongue. It was the undoing of the Tower of Babel. And that day, 3,000 people heard the gospel. And there were 3,000 baptisms. And can you even think, how did they perform 3,000 baptisms? And the newborn church gained 3,000 new members. It's just, wow. We celebrate the day of Pentecost every year because it was the birthing moment of the Church of Jesus Christ. It was the very instant that his followers drew their first breath of that real eternal life. It makes a really exciting story. But what does it have to do with life as we know it in our quiet, respectable little Episcopal church? It's lovely gift, but what is it for? We know that the Holy Spirit belongs in there with the Father and the Son and all the Trinitarian prayers that we pray and blessings and in baptisms. But generally, people that get really excited about the Holy Spirit go to churches where the music is a little peppier and people get really emotional and are just generally bouncier than we are. Because here's the thing, all too often Christians, all kinds of Christians, think that the Holy Spirit is for the fancy stuff, the spectacular stuff. And we often behave as if the Holy Spirit is something we need a shot of to do the big stuff, like speaking in tongues or healing or prophesying. And in fact, sometimes people treat the Holy Spirit kind of like a spiritual Viagra, something that gives them that moment of potency when they need it, like a jolt of superpower for those super Christian moments. And truthfully, in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost, that is how people experience the Holy Spirit. There's a story about Samson, who was one of the judges in the time before there were any kings in Israel. Samson was this incredibly powerful man whose weakness for pretty girls got him captured by the Philistines. And the Philistines blinded him and they chained him up like an animal for entertainment at a big dinner party. And Samson prayed to God for one last burst of strength to defeat his enemies. And he was filled with the power of the Spirit, and he pushed against the stone pillars of the room, and the whole house collapsed, killing Samson along with 3,000 Philistines. Another 3,000, like the new Christians on the day of Pentecost. But the pouring out of the Spirit on the church wasn't an essence of God that animated our lifeless humanity for a brief moment of power. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit was and is a life-giving infusion, something that transforms us from the inside, something that our life depends on 24/7. Karen has been sending us out prayer requests for a young woman named Stephanie McKeel over the last several weeks. She's a 12th grader from Messina who has cystic fibrosis, and she's just received a double lung transplant. She has a long and dangerous journey ahead of her, and right now she's dealing with some very frustrating setbacks. But just think for a moment what it means to her to receive new lungs. First of all, a lung transplant isn't like a kidney transplant. People don't just have a couple of extra lungs they might decide to share with another person. There can't be a lung transplant unless there is some great sacrifice. First of all, the loss of a person's life, and also the willingness of that person and of the people who love them to offer these organs to save the life of another person. And then when that gift has been given, if all goes well, instead of the constant battle of cystic fibrosis, just fighting to breathe against those thickening fluids that block the air passages, those new lungs will finally take in fresh air freely and easily, bringing life and health and strength with every breath she takes. Breath to speak and breath to sing and breath that brings oxygen to every cell in her body, breath to sustain her life every moment of every day. And we keep on praying for Stephanie that she will know that joy fully and be restored to health. But in a very real way, I think the gift of the indwelling Spirit is a lot like a lung transplant for us. Our Lord, through his sacrifice, making a way for us to take in not the air of this world, but the breath of new and everlasting life. It's even a fact that the words that mean spirit in Hebrew and in Greek mean breath, both of them. The Holy Spirit isn't just a cool thing that we can choose to add to our spirituality on occasion. The Holy Spirit is the source of our life and our health and our strength. He's our comforter. He's our advocate, our teacher, our helper. He's our counselor that reminds us of everything that Jesus taught us. He's the Spirit of adoption, by whom we draw near to the Father with all confidence, calling him Abba, Daddy. He's the source of our fruitfulness, growing in us day by day all that fruit of life in the kingdom, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit was given us as a constant companion. He's our life. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost wasn't just an afterthought or an optional add-on to Christ's death and resurrection. It was part of the whole plan of salvation and the essential fulfillment of the whole thing. Jesus told his disciples, "Stay in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father that I told you about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth and even to Norwood." We know that for Stephanie, without those new lungs, there's no life. But for us, it's equally true. Without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we could never share the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. We can ask for a fresh breath of the Spirit whenever we're in need. We can ask for a fresh filling up, and we should absolutely do that. But for all of us who have been baptized into the life of the kingdom, we should know, we should hold on to the fact that there's not a single day or an hour or a minute when we're truly alive apart from the life-giving breath of the Spirit. The church, and that's us, the church was born into the kingdom of God on the day of Pentecost when she took that first deep breath of the unquenchable life-giving Spirit of Jesus Christ, just like a newborn baby. In the movies, they slap them, but they don't really slap them. And they take that first deep breath of life and they turn pink. That's the church on the day of Pentecost. There's nothing that the children of God do apart from the breath that sustains us. Every word that we speak, everything we do, caring for the people around us, everything we create, everything we cook or sew or plant or weld or write or paint, our waking and our sleeping and our rejoicing and our grieving and our searching and our praying, and just the mundane reality of life. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathes life into everything that we do, everything. There's a worship song that goes, "You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord." Because it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this day you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.